Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, on Mystery Inc. and Psychological Productions proudly present No Borders, No Race, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Hotspot.
My bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders to Race. King Baby Duck here. Let's give one more big round of congrats to the Seattle Seahawks for pulling out such a huge win at the Super Bowl against the Denver Broncos. As soon as that safety was scored during the first play of the game, I knew how this was going to go down. Although I thought it would have been hilarious to see the Broncos get totally shut out, the final score of 43-8 was still quite an impressive feat. Great game. I mean, I found myself laughing at the poor old pencil neck every time he threw an interception. I say it's high time for Peyton Manning to hang up the old jersey and call it a day. Now, you may be saying to yourself, hey, King, this shit's old news already. Why didn't you talk about this on last week's episode? Well, I usually record this podcast show on either Thursday or Friday, or sometimes I make the segments throughout the week, you know, at the same time and all. So anything that happens Sunday evening, I usually can't cover. Once in a great while, I'll be able to talk about stuff that's up to the minute, but only just barely. So yeah, it's old news, but I still wanted to talk about it briefly. Now why don't we get the show on the road? Remember, if you like what you hear, please be sure to support these artists by buying their music. And you can find just about all these releases on Amazon.com, CDJapan.co.jp, Bandcamp, iTunes, the official websites, and your local record store. We're going to start things off with one of the first all-girl bands that made me turn my head to see what the fuss was all about in Japan. They're called Gitto Gitto Hustler, and sadly they're not together anymore, but we can still rock out to what they gave us. From their out-of-print album, Q, this song is called Yabo.
Bye. 消えてしまうよ。耳を澄ませば絶スポット嘘も聞こえてきちゃうしね、うん、僕だけに聞こえる声で君の言葉が欲しい。耳打ちでそっと教えて欲しい。
With Phonoscope from their 2008 album Funkaholic. Last year they performed the theme song to the live action version of Holic, so odds are a new album should be well underway. Okay, bastards and wenches, this week I'm going to try something a little bit different. I don't know how successful this is going to be, but you know, you never know until you try. I just got the PS4 version of Outlast, which came out last year on Steam and PC and whatnot, and was declared one of the scariest games ever made. I played it at PAX East last year, and from what I saw there, it really scared the shit out of me. So I figured these next couple segments, I would do a little bit of an audio version of a Let's Play. I know it's not as exciting as a video version, but, you know, what can you do?
So I'm going to unmute the TV here, and I'm going to get things started. All right, so there's a bit of a difficulty setting right here. We got normal, hard, nightmare, and insane. So I think I'm going to go with the normal because that's how I usually like my gameplay. I don't like it hard. I don't like it increasingly difficult. So I'm going to get things started. So, all right. So the opening says, Outlast contains intense violence, gore, graphic sexual content, and strong language. Please enjoy. For kids. You are Miles Uphirsch, or Miles Upshur, an investigative reporter whose ambition is about to earn him an intimate tour of hell on Earth. Always wanting to risk digging into the stories no other journalist would dare investigate, you will seek out the dark secret at the heart of Mount Massive Asylum. Stay alive as long as you can. Record everything. You are not a fighter. To navigate the horrors of Mount Massive, and expose the truth, your only choices are to run, hide, or die. Alright. Gonna do a little bit of the same data setup. And here we go. Loading. I keep forgetting how long these loading menus are for the PS4. By the way, PlayStation 4 has been a great console, especially if you sign up for PlayStation Plus. Like, Outlast right now is free if you are on PlayStation Plus. Like, it's $50 a year, and I've already earned that $50 back with free games. I mean, how cool is that? All right. Something's happening right now. Sounds like driving. Even though the loading menu is still up. Oh, here we go. Yep. And now we see Miles, the dumbest reporter ever. I'm sorry, but it's one of those situations where if you're about to go into the most scariest place in the world, it'd be like going into, back in the day, the Danvers State Asylum, all on your own. You would be freaked out by even the smallest things. So imagine what our good friend Miles here is about to go through. Driving. Oh, I can actually look around. So, Mount Massive Asylum, where dreams come true. Okay, so. Driving up. I'm apparently listening to Kiss 108 FM, which I would probably never listen to in real life because mainstream pop music that happens on there, it's mostly crap! My opinion. Although, my opinion is much better than most other people. Alright, I'm grabbing my folder. September 17, 2013. You don't know me. I have to make this quick. They might be monitoring. I had 2 weeks of software consult at Murdoch. It's like, yeah, transitions for Sally and Mount Massive. All sorts of NDA and blah, 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 blah. Terrible things happening there. Don't understand it. Doctors talking about dream therapy, going too deep. It needs to be exposed. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Alright. Grabbing some extra batteries and grabbing my trusty camera. Solid gold. Alright. Off to die, I guess. Out of curiosity, can I just turn around? Can I just see? Oh, great. Yes. And you locked me in. Fan-fucking-tastic. Press R1. Oh dear. What's going on in there? House of Panamata! Alright, let's go up to the house. Run, hold down the L1 button. Hello? Hello? Is anyone home? Run. So where should I... How do I get in? I guess maybe through here? So let me see what happens in this facility here. Going down. So there's trucks. Oh, Here's a hole.
There's a hole in the bottom of the gate. There's a hole in the bottom of my gate. There's a hole. There's a hole. There's a hole in the bottom of my gate. Zoom in, zoom out. Zoom in, zoom out. Zoom in, zoom out. Okay. Here I go. About to die. Climbing up, climbing up, climbing up. Making my way through. Gone. Just jumped over the gap. Jumping up. Oh. What? Did I go the wrong way? That's not the right way. Where is the right way? Come on. Oh, that was the right one. Oh, fucking great. Lights are out. How do I turn on the, Alright, stop telling me how to turn this on. Oh, there we go. Push right through. Oh, dear. This is pretty nasty, in my honest opinion. Who cleaned up this whole area? This is just pretty bad. Walk around in this vicinity. What was that? That didn't sound too good. I gotta climb through this. Oh, move toward the gap. Gotta push myself out. Alright, therapy sessions, diagnostics, biomedic, bronchial. So, I didn't really ask about Stannis' mother, but. Oh dear, what was that? Cola, drink it. Alright. What the hell is that? That's someone's spleen. That's probably someone's spleen. Trying to jump up to grab that. There we go. Alright, so making my throat way. Oh dear, what was that about? I just ran, there was nothing. Where do I go? I won't be led in that way. Whoa! Oh my god! Woo! Oh, that was scary. Woo! Alright, welcome to a little library. Love hung people. Love impaled people. Oh shit, this guy's still alive.
They killed us.
Whoa!
You can't fight them! You have to die! Can unlock the main doors for security control! You have to get the fuck out of this terrible place!
Whew. Alright, how do I get out of this terrible place? Walk through here. Okay. That door's locked. Alright. I think I know what's coming next.
walk through this.
Here it comes.
Oh, shit. Right through the window. Whew. Oh, no. Not a priest. All right. I think we're going to take a bit of a break right now. So, we're going to get back to this in just a moment. So, we'll spin some music for you right here and now. Up next, we've got a band from the Boston area called Quilt, who just released their latest album, Held in Splendor, which has been hailed for its psychedelic folk rock vibe. Here's a cut from that album. It's called Tie Up the Ties. Zazen Boys with Nabe and Sada from their I Don't Want to Be With You EP. A fun little fact about this release, along with their album Zazen Boys 4 that came out the same year, this EP was produced by David Friedman, who has been known to work alongside the likes of The Flaming Lips, OK Go, MGMT, and Black Moth Super Rainbow, just to name a few. Okay. Let's head back into Outlast. Last we left, we were just thrown off the balcony by a big giant monster, then a priest found us, and we blocked out. So, let's get back into it. So now I'm waking up, and I have no idea where I am. It's new objective, escape to asylum, access security control to unlock. Oh dear. That's actually pretty fucking gross. Alright, are you okay, sir? There's a dead security officer. Everyone's dead. Great. This has many high hopes of being successful in this department. Walking through this facility. So, interesting thing here is that the camera doesn't use battery life, but the infrared, I want to call it, does? Okay, why do I have a feeling I'm not going to like this? Alright. Okay. There's a bit of a cage in this facility here. It's locked. There's a guy in a wheelchair. He's moving. Are you okay, sir? Do you need a water? You don't have a face. Okay. Not the best place to go. Oh, thank God. There's actually some live people here. Hello? Hello? What the? Where's your right arm? What's going on here? Hello? Okay. So I want to make a point that I'm in a room with three people who don't seem to want to discuss anything. Do I hear talking? Oh, key card. Good. Okay. Yay, key card. Walking through. Okay, that door is locked. Here. And they're still watching the bloody big screen TV. Seriously. You know what? Better a bunch of white noise and something like Keeping Up with the Kardashians. You know, this is... It's probably the best for them. Okay. Gonna walk through this facility here. And I got a feeling I'm gonna...
There I go! Oh, shit.
Wants you to help him. Okay, I'll do what you want. Looks like my battery is going to be dying pretty soon, so the battery that the camera's on, so I might need to find other replacements or new ones. Where do I go from here? That sound. Oh god. Why do I have a feeling that I'm about to get that shit scared of? This is going to be pretty. Oh, hello! Mops. Witness? Can I get a witness? I guess I got a witness. Oh dear. There's a hand in the toilet seat. Someone's not eating properly. This guy have a head? Yes, he still has his head. He's dead, but he still has his head. Whew. Alright. Blood splattered. Batteries for infrared. Good. I found another battery. Because if I lost the battery, I would probably... I don't know what I would do. Okay. Man. Alright. Hooray. They lie. Who lies? Gonna unlock the main doors. Let's see. Oh dear. Ah! Great. What do I feel? Yep. Hiding. Maybe I should hide. Yep. There's a big fucking monster. Okay. Well then. Why isn't he leaving? Thank fucking Christ he left. Okay. My heart's really racing right now, ladies and gents, so I think I'm gonna take a break from this game. Outlast, I'm about, I wanna say, 25 minutes into this game, technically. I've done some little edits here and there. This game knows how to make me jump out of my skin, so let's call it quits here. Let me know what you think of these whole let's play things I'm doing audio-wise. I know they're not as good as they could be with video. I mean, maybe what I'll do is I'll continue this on in future installments as video on the Twitch page, on the On Mystery Inc. Twitch page. And see where it goes. But honestly, this game is still living up to the scares, and it's frightened me a lot more than I assumed it was going to. No, that's a total lie. This game is scaring me as much as I knew it was going to scare me. So, let's change pace here, play some music, and do a couple different things for the next couple segments. One of the side projects from Pillow's frontman Soao Yamanaka, this next band is called The Predators, and this track comes from their mini album, Tiwa Omisero. It's called CRS.
Rise again, I said, I can't let me take the rest. Save me.
Arcade from their new album, In Roses. They were recently in the Boston area performing at the Museum of Fine Arts, but are planning to come back to play at the First Church in Cambridge, Mass. On March 1st. They'll also be in New York City on the 2nd at the Bowery Ballroom, followed by a performance in Philadelphia on the 4th at the World Cafe Live. Man, that was a great song to help calm the nerves after playing something like Outlast. You couldn't tell because of my editing skills, but I had to re-record the intro to the Predators song 3 times due to the fact that my heart was racing so much from all the frights I witnessed in that game. So let's talk about something that's not at all scary. Legos. That's right. Since I was a young lad, I've had a love for those tiny building blocks, creating the official sets and building my own ideas. Hell, back in my Deadhead days, I even made my own Grateful Dead concert out of Legos. It was really cool because it had the flashing strobe lights, and if you put a sheet underneath it, it looked like the band members were swaying back and forth to the beat of the song. But anyways, I'm bringing this up because I just saw the Lego Movie, which was directed by the same guys who did the first Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs movie, as well as 21 Jump Street and its upcoming sequel, 22 Jump Street, Chris Miller and Phil Lord. The Lego Movie focuses on Emmett, played by Chris Pratt, an ordinary guy who's not at all special. One day, he comes across a woman, Wildstyle, played by Elizabeth Banks, who is searching for a mystical item known as the Piece of Resistance. He winds up finding it and soon is on a quest to save the world from President Business, played by Will Ferrell. Along with Morgan Freeman's Virtuvius, Charlie Day's 1980 Spaceman, Alison Brie's Unikitty, and Will Arnett's Batman, Emmett must learn to build an idea to stop the end of the world. You know, there was a lot of skepticism about this movie. I mean, it's a film about a popular toy brand. Of course, after seeing how much better My Little Pony is thanks to some good writing, there was still hope for something like Lego. Sure enough, the Lego Movie plays like a fantastic satire with the Zucker Brothers attitude and a Spike Jonze meta lesson near the end. I found myself laughing out loud many times, not to mention the plethora of surprise cameos from some of the bigger franchises Lego has licensed in the past. And the animation is fantastic. Although most of it is CGI, Lord and Miller managed to capture a beautiful stop-motion look to it. When things explode or they catch on fire, it's all done with a Lego flair. A smart move hiring Chris McCary to help them make this film, as his work on Robot Chicken has been nothing short of brilliant. What makes the film work, though, is its humor. It knows it's a toy line, but writers knew how to make it clever, funny, and smart in ways that us grown-up people can appreciate. Not every joke works, mind you, but when that happens, another one comes barreling down that'll make your sides ache. The Lego Movie is a fun, imaginative film that's as silly as it is touching, and maybe the best candidate for some of the big animation awards coming next year. In fact, any other cartoon film in America shouldn't even bother being released, as they probably won't have as much of a chance against it. The Lego Movie gets a 4.5 out of 5, and I urge all of you to go out and see it. Our next artist has been in the Japanese news lately as she announced she's engaged to an American med school student. Although, let's not talk more about that because I'm not the type to really chat about people's personal lives. Instead, let's play a track from her 2008 album, Guilty. Here's Faded.
Thank you. I'm not afraid to die. from their Immortal EP. And joining me right now are my good buddies, the Flemings from Wicked Anime.
Hello.
And 42 Believer from 42's Anime Reviews.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey. So it's the winter anime season. You know, the time when people are usually throwing the not-so-great shows onto our laps.
This season's pretty thin.
Yeah, winter season is kind of weak.
Incest.
Incest. Cannibalism incest.
Oh my god, Tifa. Let's not get into Tifa.
So in fact, we're not getting into Pupa. What are we getting into?
We are getting into a show called Super Sonico, the animation. And this is a slice of life sort of anime about, what's it, the Nitro Plus character?
Yeah, the mascot.
Yeah, the mascot.
It's up for a music festival.
Well, yeah, festival. It's a video game character. So they made a cartoon about her, and it's about her going to college, where she surprisingly gets good grades.
Like, you really think she'd be a ditz with, like, just everything about her design and how she acts. But no, she's actually really smart. Yeah. That's so strange.
She has no flaws other than she's late for school.
Pretty much.
But then again, that's so moe because she gets to run down the street with a piece of toast in her mouth.
No, she bikes down with a piece of toast in her mouth.
Yeah, that's right.
She does that. She models for magazines. She helps waitress at her grandma's restaurant. And she does guitar and vocals in the band First Cosmic Velocity. She's like the picture-perfect girl. Nothing absolutely wrong with her. So, my question about this show is, she does all these great things. So, why is it so boring?
Fuck you guys. I enjoyed this show.
Yeah, let's let your listening audience let that set in for now. I didn't like it. Andrew.
I mean, I didn't hate it. I thought it was a little boring, but I only watched the first episode.
There
so
you go.
Far, so far.
So the female is the one who enjoyed Super Sonico.
Yeah. I really like it. I don't know why. Don't judge me.
She's so one-dimensional, and she says yes to everything.
Nobody's judging here.
I just think
publicly,
she's
we're not judging you.
She is. Okay, hey, look,
Sarah, just explain to my listeners, why do you like this show so much?
I can't explain it to myself rationally. I just found some kind of irrational pull while watching this. Like, oh my god, she is adorable. Everything she does is adorable. This show is adorable. And by the end of it, it was that crappy CG ED that was going on. And I was like, but I want to watch more. Where's the anime? Why is this crappy CG ED here?
I will say, though, that there's one character on the show that I really do like, and it's Manager-san. Why isn't this show about him?
Dude, he actually creeps me the hell out. Like, straight out. Like, I don't get him. Like, his whole like mannerism as a character, it's just creepy. Like, people in Master are creepy.
Well, it's an episode 3 where it made me go, you know what, this show should be what it is about when Sarah, you know this episode where they go to Okinawa and
Oh my god, that episode was just like, I freaking love that episode because you just see him like get stone cold drunk and then he ends up signing Super Sonico off to do some really sketchy job that's kind of involved with tentacle porn.
Surprise!
Kind of.
And what does Lana Jashan
do? Like,
he beats the crap out of him.
But then, like, the guy just comes out of nowhere and just beats the shit out of the monster, and it is fantastic. I just love it.
That's why I was saying, that's what the show should be about. Manager-san and the other models. I mean, you see that there are other models that are within his agency.
Nah, I don't care. I like Super Sonico. I like Sonico-chan.
Okay.
Sonico-chan.
So maybe the thing that really bothers me the most, and this is from me being the music critic of the show, she talks about liking rock and roll and wanting to be a rock star, which I think is great. So why isn't she playing rock music?
I can't defend that. I still love it.
I it's not even pop rock. It's like it's like something in between pop and pop rock, and then there's this weird little void where her music is.
And you know, I can't defend it. I can't defend it because you're totally right. I still love it.
And, you know, for those of you out there who are saying, oh, I guess that's how Japanese women's rock sounds like. Well, apparently you haven't been listening to my podcast show enough. I mean, look up Tsushima Mirei, Noodles, Chat Monchi, Scandal, Flip, Detroit 7, Red Bacteria Vacuum, Titan Go Kings, and the 5678. There are plethoras of Japanese rock bands that are fronted or are all girls that rock.
And then Evan just drops the microphone and walks away after his big long rant.
And again, I know it's an anime, and I know some anime insert songs, you know, aren't that great. But when it comes to rock music, I mean, look at what they did in the first season of The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya, the Live Alive episode, where Haruhi performs the songs God Knows and Lost My Music. Those songs, for anime songs, are brilliant. They rock, and they have, like, the most amazing guitar solos. Why couldn't Supersonico have something like that?
Because it's a moe show at heart. Like, it's like, let's be honest.
So was K-On, and even though I wasn't a big fan of K-On, I still love the music in it, and they found a way to make it rock.
I think they're more going for the root of treating her like an idol, because she's a model, because she's basically everything that's moe. The rock and roll persona probably wouldn't fit for the show.
Yeah, it's not very moe or cute to play hard rock.
I mean,
baby metal.
Oh, baby metal is awesome. yeah, don't even get me started on baby metal. But I think just for the aesthetic of the show, as far as aesthetics go and creating animation, they just decided, hey, maybe we should do pop because it's easier to make. Because now, if you think about it, because the show isn't super high budgeted, I can't imagine. Yeah. I mean,
the animation's not.
Yeah, it's not top notch animation.
If they cut so much from the budget, then why didn't they just hire a more suitable songwriter to do all the songs?
Because that requires a lot of recording and a lot of. I think that's basically what it is. It comes down to that kind of thing where pop is easier to make because it can all be done by one studio and no instruments.
I know. But when she says that she wants to do rock music, I'm assuming that that's what the fans of the show, the fans of Supersonico, are looking to hear, not this generic stuff.
I wonder what kind of music they do play at the at her festival in Japan.
It's pop idol stuff.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Couldn't they just break the mold once? Do something completely different?
No.
Well, you're expecting Japan to come up with something new and different out of an idol? Come on.
The idea of the show is basically just like, oh, it's Supersonico. People are going to watch it. She's got double K breasts.
I didn't even know that was a possible size.
That's a possible size. I know. I know people who have that size.
What?
Really? That was just a number higher than D or letter. Jeez.
No, my cousin actually has F's, but that's beside the point. but no, it's I like honestly, people were some people I talked to were worried that it was going to be way too fan service-y. And I don't find it fanservice-y really at all.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, the modeling scenes are a little bit fanservice-y, but it's not extremely fanservice-y. So I do have to give them props for at least not putting in-your-face boobs all the time.
It's a different level of fanservice. You can hear us discuss fanservice on our podcast. it's a different level of fanservice where you're right. They didn't go make it a super fanservice-y show. Not like something like Mock and Key or you know, something that, a show that's made for fan service. But you kind of know that when they have Super Sonico out and about, they're going to try to get her clothes off, basically.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what they did in the modeling scenes.
Oh, it seems old Greg here is telling me that we're running out of time.
So what is everyone gonna keep watching it or what?
I think I'm gonna watch like one or two more episodes before writing a full on review, but I'm not gonna be happy about it.
Andrew from Wicked Anime over here, Jake, because I just heard Jonathan say no.
I said hell no. Don't take that away from me.
I think I will probably watch it when everything I'm watching now is done. Because, like, I'll make my way around to it, because I'll probably end up doing a review on it for my show.
You just you guys all suck. I fucking love this show. Fuck you all. I don't understand.
Hey, Sarah, look, if I keep watching it and I find out that I absolutely love it, you'll be the first to know.
That make me feel better inside. Thank you. I just feel so alone because, like, a show like this, guys are supposed to like and girls are supposed to detest.
I don't know.
No, this is a show that generates to that 1% of otaku who purchases the statues and 10,000 copies each of the single so they can do a meet and greet with Super Sonico.
So technically, those ones just prefer the one frame of Super Sonico, not the whole animation.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
Super Sonico does have some, I don't know, I haven't really seen any of her figurines that are like, wow, that one's really good, because I like to collect figurines. But, you know, none of the Super Sonico ones have been like, that's great, I want to get that one. So.
No, they're the ones that, she's bending over properly, I could actually probably look under her skirt kind of figurines.
I mean, I just I'm considering there's a I think there are a couple Super Sonico Nendoroids, and if I found one that I liked, I would go and try and find it, someone selling it and buy it.
Well, Nendoroids are pretty cool, but as far as figurines go, her boobs always kind of get in the way.
Yeah,
it's true. All right, Wicked Anime, 42 Believer, thank you again, as always, for coming on to No Borders, No Race.
You got it, dude.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Yep, and don't forget, we're all going to be at Anime Boston this year. We're going to be partying like crazy.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm the only one who really got jazzed up, like, yeah, Anime Boston, let's do this.
Hey, I had a growl to my voice. That's how you know I'm ready to party.
I'll be sporting my new Thundercats hat. You won't see the Helsing one anymore. It'll be the Thundercats one now. Yeah.
You will probably be seeing me in the hat that I wear all the freaking time. Because that is the hat I wear all the freaking time. It's like blue and has little white cross thingies on it. You'll see it.
We've never seen what's underneath 42 Believer's head, by the way. So we're automatically assuming she's at her balding, or she's got some sort of brain matter that's showing.
No. There's like a snake that just kind of curls up and just sits on top of my head, and that's where it likes to rest. But it doesn't like to be seen.
Like to assassinate people with. Just
exactly.
I have to stay really still though.
Oh my god.
All right. So up next, we've got a great gypsy punk group from out of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, called This Way to the Egress. They're going to be playing a few steampunk conventions throughout the year, but keep your eyes peeled for more tour dates in the future from their album Mighty Seed. This song is called Cage Bird.
The corner store, you know, looking to pass the time. I've been so damn lonely since you haven't been by my side. And it's a thousand and one old cliche, the old count 22. A girl like me, damn if I don't, you know, damn if I do. I need you. Ooh la la la, ooh la la la. If you're not gonna stick around, then get out of the way. My ear, of the fast and one old cliche that will keep in my ass here. Cause I have got a that loyal overhound. And if you don't shape on up, this ass is leaving town. I need you to ooh la 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 la, ooh la 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 la. You're not gonna stick around to get out of the way.
My bones so cold, you know it's unknown. And I think I'm Kimoto with 1115 from her Plus One album. While her music career has been a bit quiet these past couple years, it was announced that she has signed on to a new record label, so that might mean she's currently in the studio cooking something new up. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you're in a band and want to be featured on our show, or if you have any questions for our dear Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck. You can follow me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, and you can like us on facebook.com/bostonbashbrigade. And do not forget about the other shows under the Land of Esh, including Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues Program. I know it's a little early to announce this, but I'm so excited about it that I can't hold it in no longer. Not only will I be at Anime Boston this year, but I'll also be in attendance at PAX East from April 11th to the 13th, reporting on my daily finds and interviewing the coolest people within the gaming industry. Be sure to find me on the floor, as it's not too hard to spot the guy in the red Boston Bastard Brigade shirt and Japanese headband. So even though it's 2 months away, be sure to prepare for the awesomeness that I'm going to be covering. So with that, we're going to end the show with a song by Rokushiki, who this past week announced that they would be disbanding following their recent gig at Planet K. It appears that the band members are all looking to expand on their music styling, so we can probably expect a bunch of new bands coming out from the four members of the group. In any case, all that can be said to them is good luck, and may they prosper in their future endeavors. From their album, A969, this is Club 6x6. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck remind you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.
Six to six.